stories from this is a book by Kittisaro Tanisara, and Kittisaro speaks of his initial meeting with Ajahn Chah. He had met a student of Ajahn Chah when he was studying Oxford. He was a Rhodes Scholar studying Oxford, and he met a layman, Doug Burns, who was a psychiatrist and all sorts of things, and who was studied with Ajahn Chah, took a temporary ordination for a Pansa, spent Pansa at Wat Bapong 1 year, and he would come back every year, a couple times a year often, and visit. When Kittisaro, he took leave from Oxford for a time off from his studies, and then came to Thailand, he met up with Doug Burns, and then Doug took him up to Wat Bapong. To meet with Ajahn Chah. So then the account. Ajahn Chah was sitting in a wicker chair receiving guests in the open shaded space below his kuti, the meditation hut where he lived. And this would be about probably 1976, something like that.
76, 77, something like that. Receiving
guests in the open shaded space below his kuti, the meditation hut where he lived, which was elevated on stilts to discourage the creepy crawlies. We approached and Dr. Burns bowed three times as a gesture of respect. I watched him and joined in as best I could. We sat on the polished concrete floor around Ajahn Chah, along with a few Thai monks attending to his needs and a group of visitors from the local villages. After a while, Ajahn Chah looked at me and asked, "Why did you come?" I mumbled something about seeking enlightenment and balance in my life, but as I spoke, my words felt tinny and weak. Doug translated my response. Ajahn Chah asked me a few additional questions, and I told him I was doing a thesis on art, science, and mysticism in the works of Aldous Huxley at Oxford University. That seemed to amuse him. He asked me what I would do after that. I replied, "I'll go to medical school." He then asked, "And after that, I'll become a doctor." And after that, I gave a few more tentative answers, and with a twinkling smile, he looked at me and picked up the spittoon next to him and ran his fingers round and round the circular rim. "What's he telling me?" I wondered. He then asked me if I knew how to meditate. Ah, I felt on firmer ground here. After all, I had just completed a 10-day meditation retreat. In my calculations, having had a taste of what it was all about, via the shimmering bush experience, he tells about that where during the meditation retreat that it sort of impressed him. I thought I'd be able to crack open the whole enlightenment thing in a year or two. I was feeling pretty confident and hoping he would notice that I was gifted at meditation and had a lot of potential. I described how I would systematically sweep the attention through different parts of my body, staying in touch with the sensations. Actually, though I didn't mention it to him, I was quite proud that I could sweep the mind down both sides of the body simultaneously. I was hoping he'd see that and be impressed. Before I had finished, he got off his wicker chair and down onto the floor on all fours and started sniffing around like a dog. I couldn't believe it. Meanwhile, he was speaking in Thai, and everyone was laughing hysterically. The monks, the villagers, and Doug. With my renowned Piscean intuition, I could tell Ajahn Chah wasn't impressed with my meditation. Amid all the laughter in which I participated because it was funny, I whispered to my friend, "Doug, what's he saying?" Finally, the commotion died down. I got a translation. Ajahn Chah says, "You don't need to sniff all over the place like a dog." Ajahn Chah got back in his chair and composed himself, wiping tears of laughter from his eyes. With a warm and loving smile, he looked at me and said, "You don't need to look at so many things. One is enough." Pointing to his nose, he continued, "Observe your breathing here at the nostrils. When you know one thing well, you'll understand everything. If you try to look at everything and change the object of investigation all the time, you might end up not knowing anything thoroughly. Go and live with Sumedho and let him teach you how to be a monk." In my heart, I felt warm, received, and accepted. Curious as it might be, curious as it might sound after that unorthodox introduction, how ironic to be pointed back to my nose. I'd spent my whole life ashamed of my nose, feeling I was ugly. One of my high school teachers used to kid me in class, "Son, you've got a nose like the keel of a ship." My nose was not my romantic idea of the royal road to enlightenment. Well, I had met the master, and he'd certainly gotten my attention. His invitation to learn how to be a monk was very attractive, so that's what I did. Ajahn Chah sent me off to practice with Ajahn Sumedho, be with my breathing, and make friends with my nose. I quite gratefully complied. So then he continues and gives his kind of an account of his developing his practice and going on, of course, the different difficulties and ups and downs that came in his practice, and but then he was out living with Ajahn Jan, who we mentioned before, as one of Ajahn Chah's senior disciples, and he was bitten by a centipede, and he had a, which is painful anyway, but he had quite a serious reaction to it. So he was bitten on his hand, and it was so he was taken to the hospital. Ajahn Jan took him to the hospital. He was placed in the monk's ward. The monk on my right died the first night I was there. The novice across the room had a huge sore in his leg, but the doctors thought they needed to amputate. I've been in that monk's ward. It's it's sort of the end of the line. And he continues. And then it just was getting increasingly difficult and depressed, really, and frustrated in the practice, his health wasn't so good at that point. And then, at that point, Ajahn Prabhakaral was an abbot at that time. He said he could see this Ajahn Prabhakaral. He could see I was in trouble, so he agreed to take me over to meet with Ajahn Chah. When we arrived in the evening, Ajahn Chah was sitting as usual in his wicker chair in the space underneath his meditation hut. He was alone, since all the other monks were in the meditation hall chanting. I was grateful to have the chance to speak with him. It had always been a joy to sit nearby him as people came and went with their problems. Ajahn Chah exuded a great sense of freedom, and he loved to use humor. A few words here, a blessing there, consoling, fierce, gentle, challenging. He was liquid in his fluidity and mountain-like in his presence. He was masterful, and I was a wreck. He looked at me and grunted, "What's up?" I looked up at him in his chair and said, "Lumpa, I'm a mess. My mind is full of desire and I feel depressed, miserable, and hopeless. This path seems impossible. Feels like I'm never going to laugh again." Prabhakaro dutifully translated, "Humph." Ajahn Chah grunted back. He asked me to tell him about my life before I was a monk. He got me talking about wrestling, the tournaments, the constant competition, the judging mind. He listened. "Nah," he said, "you remind me of a baby squirrel." Baby Prabhakaro whispered in my ear, "He says you remind him of a baby squirrel." Oh dear, I thought, I'm in trouble. One day, he continued, "that squirrel saw his mother leaping from branch to branch through the forest, and he thought, that looks fantastic. I want to do the same. So he went up a tree and leapt." Then Ajahn Chah paused. Dok. Dok means to fall. The squirrel fell down to the ground with a jolt and went to his mother crying. "Son," said the mother, "you need to go to school." Ajahn Chah told how the squirrel went to kindergarten, then on to first and second grade. Each time the squirrel would try his new moves, but soon, dok, he would fall down again. Ajahn Chah looked down at me, his eyes going round and round in circles with each dok. Each time the young squirrel would cry, the mother sent him back to school. By the time the squirrel was in college, I was literally rolling around on the floor, laughing until I was crying. Ajahn Chah went on, Prabhakaro whispering in my ear the whole time. He says the squirrel went to get a PhD. I was finished. Now I thought I'd never stop laughing. Finally, I sat up in front of Ajahn Chah. Looking right at me with an ocean of kindness, he said, "And one day that squirrel could do everything its mother could do." A beautiful feeling of happiness and relief filled my whole being, from the crown of my head down to the soles of my feet. I was delighted with that story. It gave me a sense of hope and confidence. But then Ajahn Chah started another story. "You know," he said, "you also remind me of a donkey." Uh-oh, I thought, what's he doing? I was still enjoying the blissful afterglow of the squirrel story. Ajahn Chah told me about a donkey who loved to listen to the cicadas making music at dusk. He wanted to make music too. Being a very clever donkey, he decided to do some investigation. He watched the cicadas very carefully and saw that first thing at dawn they would eat dewdrops. So the industrious donkey got up extra early the next morning and went round licking thousands of dewdrops. After several hours of hard work, he thought, that should do it. Feeling confident and ready to enjoy the fruits of his labor, he opened his mouth wide to make beautiful music, and you know what happened. The donkey was so disappointed. Then Ajahn Chah just stopped. That was the end of the story. Why did he tell me that, I wondered. For years, I would only remember the squirrel story and its happy ending. "Just keep practicing, be patient, everything will be all right," I told myself. I didn't like the donkey story so much and didn't want to think about it. But then slowly, I began to realize its importance and have compassion for the donkey. I needed to learn how to accept and appreciate my own voice, my own limitations, and my own journey, and not try to be someone else. Self-aversion and wishful thinking are not the path to freedom. The beauty of awakening is inherent within our nature, within this very body and mind. It grows and flowers naturally. I can listen deeply and find my true sound when I'm not so busy comparing myself to others. There it is.